Right, anyway, I want to continue where I've been at for last few, on and off for a while. And I'm going to be talking about the last, in a sense, of a series on prophecy. And I know this is close to many people's hearts and close to, as a church, we're wanting everybody to operate in the gifts. And it says in the Bible, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. So, you know, it's something that we would really want people to engage in and go for in Jesus. So I just want to bring a few closing thoughts, as it were, but also to encourage you guys to step out. So if you're not, if you are taking notes, I've titled this Keeping Going in the Things of God, and point one is stepping out. Because at the end of the day, whenever you feel you've got a word from God, to in a sense deliver it is to step out. And it can be quite nerve-wracking. You know, if you're feeling God's laying somewhat in your heart, what do you do? What do you say? How do you put it across? And are you sure you're hearing from God or what? So we just want to look at this whole idea. And the best moments to prophesy, or it really says the question, when is the best moment to prophesy? It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, you know, some people think that if God speaks, then therefore I should speak it out. We want to look at a few things. The best one is when you know what God is saying is a good time to prophesy. When you know what God's saying. But I would even take it further than that. It's not just what God's saying, it's the heart of God and what he's saying. Because you can say the same thing, you can say what God's saying, but with a different attitude or the heart's not right, and it can lead to problems. In other ways, you know what God's saying, and you also know the best way to say it. So sometimes, for example, if I was to prophesy to somebody with piles, you know, would you want to be that person that I pointed out to? You know, God says, you've got piles. You know, you wouldn't want that, would you? So it might be a word from God, but it's not best delivered from the front. It may not be the best delivered from person to person as well, but that's another thing. But another thing to consider is, you know, when you prophesy, is it to a group? Is it to a person? Again, there'd be no point in me saying there's somebody here with piles when really I should be talking to a person. So it's working out what God's saying, the heart of what God's saying, and is it the which is the best way to deliver it? And which sometimes is it to speak it out publicly or keep it to yourself and talk to that person? So it's an interesting thing. So we're going to work these through. Then, you know, once you know what God's saying, the way you start what God's saying will actually help in the context of what God's trying to say. So, for example, again, we'll go back into piles because it's bringing everybody smiles. And nobody's sat on a donut, so it's not being offensive to anybody. But if we shouted that out, it would be embarrassing to people. It may not be embarrassing to Sam, but it would be embarrassing to most people. And they wouldn't want everybody to know. There's certain things you don't want everybody to know. And in context of any sort of word from God, one of the things you need to do is, would you want people to speak into your life about certain stuff? Now, that's why it's got to be positive and encouraging. And that's why as a church, different churches have different protocols when it comes to bringing things from God. We as a church, we always say, come, if I'm around, speak to me or speak to Phil or Ian. And we do what's called the weigh-in. We'll weigh it up. And not that we always get it right, but we're trying to bring safeguards in, safeguards for you if you're bringing a word. We're also safeguards for people in the church as well, because I just don't want anybody and everybody feeling they've got a right to speak anything into our church. So more often than not, I have to say, tell me. But some people can wave at me and say, I've got a word, and I'll just go, there's the mic. Other people, I say, just tell me what it is. Sometimes I'll let them share it. Other times I'll share it. It is interesting. There's one person in particular who actually came up to me, this is some years ago, and said, I've got a word from God. And I said, tell me what it is. So they told me. And I went, okay. And then for the rest of the meeting, they looked with a frown on their face at me while I was preaching. Because I didn't tell the people what God was saying. And as my sermon went on, I said, oh, and by the way, there's somebody brought a word this morning and I shared the word because it fitted in with my sermon, which was good. But then they pulled in an even bigger face at me because I didn't give them credit for it. We're only post people. If you're going to bring anything from God, you're only a delivery person. You're only, I've reminded you all the time, God used a donkey in the Bible. So let's not think we're very special. You know, sometimes we've just got to deliver things that God's saying. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 31 to 33, it says this, all of you can prophesy in turn. Interesting, it says all of you can prophesy. So the people are saying, I can't do that. Well, it says here, all of you can prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The reason why God wants us all to prophesy, and I'm not talking about coming up to the front and thus says the Lord, sometimes you can prophesy into people's lives sat next to you without actually making it into a great song and a dance of what God is saying. But it says that everyone may be encouraged and instructed. I like that. Because at the end of the day, we all need some encouragement and we all need to know. Then it continues, verse 32. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. You know, sometimes you might get a word from God and you might think it's the biggest thing this church needs to hear right here, right now. But according to that verse, you can control it and you can actually hold on to it. So if you feel God's saying something, but it's not appropriate at that time, sometimes it's best just to keep quiet till that moment comes. So the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. No, I won't go into that story because you might know what I'm thinking about. I'll leave that. Verse 33, it says, for God is not the God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. God is not the God of disorder. In other words, in the early church, there'd be one person shouting out something at one side and somebody shouting out something at the other side and somebody in the middle shouting out and one person would be saying, God's telling us to go up the mountain. One's telling us to come down into the valley. One's telling us to go home and sit down. And the other one's saying we need to get out there and do something. Well, God's not a God of schizophrenia. God knows what he's saying and he knows what he's saying and he's a God of order, not disorder. And a God of peace. So everything should be tied in. But if you get something from God, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it might not be for now. It might be for later on. In 1 Corinthians 14, 39, 40, he says, therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly manner. Everything should be done in a fitting and orderly manner. But it says, be eager to prophesy. Yeah, eager. We heard what eagerness meant this morning from Celine, almighty woman of God. And, you know, we're talking about being eager. We need to be eager to prophesy. Why? Not because it makes us look good, but somebody might need something that God's speaking to you about in their lives. Our meetings need to be, you know, in order and not in disorder. I do believe in the Corinth church, there was people shouting out prophecies, people shouting out words in tongues, and other people trying to interpret, and it was just a bit of a chaotic thing. And that's why Paul had to say, you know what, do it this way. No more than three. I don't know if you've ever been into a church, and this does make me smile, where somebody gives a word from God, but then other people's going to go, yes, I had that word as well. Well, we don't need to know you've had the word if we believe the word's from God in the first place. Because, believe it or not, if you hear from God, you're not unique. Because I don't think God's going, I need somebody to give a word, right? Who can I look? Right, okay. I'll look at Jean, whispering to Jean, something in her ears. Actually, the Holy Spirit's shouting it over the church. But only those people who are listening. So often if Jean hears it from God, then Ruth can also hear the same word from God. And Sam could hear the same word from God. Again, it gets filtered a little bit through our spirit and through our character, so it can be a little bit different, but the essence should always be the same. And God wants to do things in order. So I need to encourage you guys to be eager to step out in prophecy. So, second point, sharing with individuals. Because sometimes we can give a word into the church. Thus says the Lord, I'm going to do a new thing. whatever. But we can give words that are generally to somebody, but there's also times when you can speak it directly into somebody else's life. And that's when it gets a bit sticky, a bit we need to be careful. God will often give you words for people and help you to know when to say them. Again, you don't always have to have the word instantly and deliver it instantly. There's been times in Jo's life where she's had God's been speaking to her through different forms, and it could be a couple of weeks later before she engages with that person, and she's already ready because God spoke to her about something, and then she can discuss it with them. You don't have to run around thinking, I've got to phone them up now. Sometimes you just got to leave it with God and let God know. But note this. If you say statements like, and this is when we need to be careful, God's told me this, blah, 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 or God has said, blah, 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 whatever it might be, you're actually eliminating the chance or the opportunity to weigh this up. So if I said, God's told me this, bang, and I deliver it, then we can't argue with it, can we? We can't say, well, actually, we need to weigh this up. No, you can't do that. So often people try to put the idea that God said to try and reinforce what they're saying because they're not sure what they're saying is from God. I've had people many times say to me, God told me this. And I've gone, did he really? And they said, yeah. And I said, are you sure? Yes. And 4 weeks later, 6 weeks later, 6 months later, I then see them and question what God said because they're not doing what God told them. Or God told me something else. Then why did he tell you that in the first place? Why is it that God always tells men to go and buy the boat? Or the car? Maybe not here. You know what I mean? Why is it that God's always telling the ladies that we need to redecorate the house? He doesn't. It's just sometimes our hearts are drawn towards something and it's not God, but we try and put God in it. But be very careful if you ever say to people, God's told me or God said. It would be better to speak words like, I believe God is saying. Because there's an avenue of, I could get this wrong. I could get it wrong. You should never tell anybody that they ought to, God's told them to go marry that person. Or God's told them to stop taking the medication or something like that. It's kind of like, you need to be very careful when you start getting into that area. And the best thing to do is not go there unless you know exactly what God's saying to you. The only time I've ever told anybody to stop taking the tablets is when I didn't know they were on tablets, which meant I could say something because I didn't know what they're on. But usually I would not tell anybody to stop taking any tablets, go see the doctor, even when we've prayed for them. So the third thing is, what do you do about sharing words of God to an unbeliever? I mean, it's okay sharing them to a believer because at the end of the day, we're all nice. I mean, somebody can get up here and say, I believe God's saying this, and we all smile, don't we? And we look at them smiling, going, no, you got it wrong, mate. But we smile anyway because we're trying to encourage them because we want them to do good. So we smile and we try and give them the benefit of doubt and maybe there's a little bit of God in there and we're not sure. But if you ever give a word to a non-Christian, they'll tell you straight away whether it's of God or not. They do not hang around. They're not going to say, oh, thank you very much if they don't like it. But should we speak into non-Christian's life? Well, the Bible says this, but you will receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. One of my favorite Bible verses. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power. The gifts come with the Holy Spirit. The fruits come through with the Holy Spirit. The fruit comes with the Holy Spirit. And he says, we'll be witnesses. So the idea of the Holy Spirit and with witnessing means that we can give words to non-Christians. But again, you need to be very careful when it comes down to this. Hebrews 2, verse 3 to 4 says this. This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed by those who heard him. God also testifying with signs and wonders and miraculous signs, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Well, the gospel should always be accompanied by signs and wonders, or at least the gifts of the Spirit. You should be prepared to give words to non-Christians and be very careful, but be conscious of giving them words So how do you actually give, how would you give a word to a non-Christian? Well, I wouldn't go around saying, God's told me. It's a bit weird. But you could say, you know what, I was thinking about you the other day and I was praying. And I just got a sense of this. And just tell them. Or it could be another way of saying, you know, how's things going with you and so-and-so? Could be son, daughter, someone. How's it going? Because God laid me you on my heart and I've been praying. Because I've, you know, well, like God was saying that there's a bit of tension. You can be quite tentative about it. You don't have to go, thus says the Lord. You can just say, as I was praying, as I was thinking about you. You don't even have to put God into it. You could say, as I've been thinking about you, this came to mind. Does it mean anything to you? And if they open up and share a little bit, then you can say, well, it happened when I was praying or thinking about you. We need to be very careful. And believe it or not, some people won't take it. I know Christians that won't take words from God, so don't expect non-Christians to. Many, many years ago, I was a warehouse manager, and different people used to come in and out all the time, and a guy came in, and as he walked in, God says to me, tell him his daughter's sick, but not to worry, she's going to be well, and everything's going to be okay. That's a simple enough thing, isn't it? No big deal. So I says to him, because I didn't really know him, I couldn't say God says. So I says to him, I goes, how you doing? We're chatting away. I said, do you have a daughter? He says, yeah, I do. I said, is she sick? He went, yeah, how do you know? And I says, because I've been praying and I really felt God saying that your daughter's sick, but it's going to be all right. It's going to be well. It's going to be okay. She's going to get better. And he went, have you been spying on me? Because I don't know where you live. I'm just saying, as I've been working, and he goes, you've been spying. He said, I'm going to phone. And it got really funny. I said, all I'm saying to you, mate, is God told me something, and I'm trying to tell you that your daughter's going to be all right. He said, I don't believe in God. I said, so when your daughter gets all right, you've been. And he got really funny about it. And in fact, my boss came out and he says, have you heard this rubbish from your employee, and started getting funny with him? And my boss went, yeah, it's Johnny. He says, God, he talks to God and God talks to him. And he just carried on walking. That's all he said. My boss didn't even believe in God, really. But that's all he said. He walked. And this guy said, I'm never coming here again. Took his stuff and went. And I don't know what happened. But the truth is, not everybody takes it. See, we assume that if God moves, people fall down on their faces in repentance, crying out to God. How much of a word from God would somebody need to turn to him? It all depends on how their hearts are at any given time. You see, I've just put a few things here. An easy way to speak to a non-Christian is to start and think, you know, I've asked somebody once, you know what, if Jesus was here right now, what do you think he'd say to you? I've asked a non-Christian that. If Jesus were here, what would he say to you? And they normally go, you've done this, 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 and this. And then I say, actually, I believe God, Jesus said to you that he loves you, he cares for you. And they're looking at the negative, and I throw it onto the positive. Is that a word from God? But we're no shabba-dabba doing, or thus says the Lord. But I believe God's wanted to speak. Especially, I've done it a few times with people. Just says, Jesus were here, what would you think he'd say to you? And that's a good way to talk to a non-Christian. Use questions. You know, if God exists, what do you think he thinks of you? That's another good one. Just pose a question. I mean, Jesus used to use questions to set a scene to talk to people. If you read John 4, chapter 4, there's a woman at the well there, and he just asks the question, can I have a drink of water? Or can you get me a drink of water, woman? Now, that's an interesting conversation. I remember a long, long time ago, before our Tim gave his life to Jesus, his ex-girlfriend and his daughters started going to a church. So Tim rung me up and said, Johnny, I need you to find out about this church that this girl's going to with my daughter, and I want to make sure it's not the Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. I want to make sure it's not a cult or something weird. So I said to him, okay, on Sunday when you've got her, we'll take you home. We'll take her home, and then I can talk to him about what church he's part of. And we can find out and take it from there. I mean, it's innocent enough, isn't it? So we have a weekend. Tim has a weekend with his daughter, and I say, right, let's get you home. So we're taking on Tim's at this point, nowhere with God. Okay, this is before God delivered him of his drugs and all that. But this was the lead up. See, people read Tim's story and think God picked him out of the crowd, stuck his finger on it, and he might have done. But there was a lead up to it. So he drives over to his daughter's home, and we go in, and we went in for a couple, which is unusual, and we're trying to get the church conversation going to find out what church we're going. So I thought, you know what, I'm not going to beat you about it. So I said to Colette's mum, I goes, what church do you go to? So she told me. I went, oh, that's a good church, is that one? I've heard of it, it's a decent church. And we went on, she was telling me a few things about it, and we're chatting away. But her boyfriend, she'd only just become a Christian, but her boyfriend was muttering under his breath, oh, it's a load of rubbish, is this? There's no such thing as God. And he was rattling on. And now we're kind of getting a little bit annoyed because I'm trying to talk church and he's chuntering in the background. So I did what Paul did in Acts, where he turned around and cast that demon. I didn't cast a demon out. But I looked at him, I says, do you know this God that you don't believe in? He says this. Now, I didn't have a word from God until I said, he says this. And I told him the conversations and what he'd been doing in the day up to that evening. I told him what were in his heart right now. And I told him what he was going to get up to tomorrow. And the fact is, God was challenging him to sort his life out with God before certain things went on. Well, the guy's mouth dropped open. The lady's mouth dropped open. And Tim's daughter looked and went, told you. But our Tim, his mouth dropped open as well. And the guy went, that's just a total load of rubbish, load of rubbish. But his girlfriend said, but it's exactly what's been got you. Well, you've told him. You rung him up, whatever it might have been. But our Tim's mouth was wide open. See, the word was given to one person, but there were different people listening. And for Tim, it sparked something in his heart where the lad who had got who the word had been said about never took it any further, as far as I know. And he'll have to stand before God for that one. But for Tim, it sparked something that led him to a point where he sorted his life out with God. So sometimes you might have a word for somebody, but that's not the person that God's really after. You see, we have these plans in our mind of what God should do, shouldn't do, and how he should do it. And God goes, that's great, but I'm going to do it my way anyway. And he does things which is different to what we expect. And we need to be ready for that. So point number five is don't give up, just keep believing, especially in terms of prophecy. In Thessalonians 5, verse 20, it says this, do not treat prophecy with contempt. I say that because sometimes we can. Sometimes as a person that gives the word, we can speak it with contempt. Or somebody who's receiving the word, we can treat it with contempt. We need to be ready to always listen to God and not just think we got carried away and I know it all by now. Guys, I've been operating in through the gifts of the Spirit for many years and I don't really know much at all. I'm still discovering it and still learning even now. In Proverbs 3 verse 5, it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Sometimes you don't understand exactly what you're saying, the impact that it's going to have on that person. You don't know. You just don't know. He says this in Mark 11, 22. Have faith in God, says Jesus, and keep moving in the gifts wherever you can. Keep stirring them up. Keep operating. But this is the amazing thing. You don't have to be standing on a platform going, God says. It could be one-to-one. It could be, you know, in a group. It could be through your other gifts. You know, people who are very musical, Steve, Danny, Sam, others, you can be very prophetic in your playing, in your singing, guys. Some of you can be singing and actually sing prophetically, which has an impact on people's lives. You don't have to just think it's got to be, thus says the Lord. And also, point number six is ask for feedback. Ask feedback. I always say to people, does that mean anything to you? Does that mean anything to you? And sometimes they'll go, yeah, You've just opened up my life before you. You're an amazing man of God. Let me fall down and worship Jesus. And then sometimes they look at me and go, no. It means absolutely nothing. And what do? Leave it with God. Because I have found this, that sometimes when people say to me, no, nope, that means absolutely nothing to me, their wife that's standing next to them gone, you liar. So you ought to be careful. Ask for feedback, but be very careful how you take it and what happens there. It says this in the Bible, Proverbs 27, verse 17. He says, as iron sharpens iron, which makes me laugh because I've never known iron sharpen iron. It always, but that's another thing, right? So one person sharpens another. We need to sharpen each other up. And if we're using cotton wool around each other, we're not sharpening each other up. Sometimes you've got to provoke each other. Sometimes you've got to challenge each other. And as pastors, sometimes my job is to say, you know what, that were good, but this bit were wrong. But I won't do that publicly. Generally, I'll say, unless somebody says, I've got a word from God, can I give it? And I go, no, and then they spout it out anyway. And I've only had one situation where I've had to readdress a congregation because of a word somebody was given, and I had to do it. And it all worked itself out happily. No, it didn't. They left the church. Not here, a different one. So ask for feedback. And number seven, last point is, remember, it's a journey you're on. Enjoy it. Guys, if you think you're going to prophesy into everybody's life and get it spot on 100% of the time, then your name's Jesus. And as last I checked, you are not Jesus. And therefore, you can get it wrong. And I don't mean you've got it up. It's not about black and white anymore. But sometimes you can share something that God's laid in your heart and have a bit of an attitude with it. And that can be a problem. You see, I don't have a luxury like some people have. If I share something with a bit of an attitude, God kicks me up the backside. And it's like a few weeks ago when I had to apologize to everybody in the church. But the truth is that sometimes, you know, God wants us to speak and he knows our faults, but he still wants to use us anyway. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4 says this, if anyone speaks in a tongue, edifies himself, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Let me encourage you, speak in tongues often because it builds you up, strengthens you up on the inside. The Message puts it this way, the one who prays using a private prayer language certainly gets a lot out of it. You think it's a Yorkshire guy here. Gets a lot out of it. But proclaiming God's truth to the church in a common language, like Yorkshire, brings the whole church into growth and into strength. Paul says, I speak in tongues all the time. But he does say, I'd rather speak 3 or 4 intelligible words than 10,000 in a tongue, so that it builds people up. So sometimes we've got to speak words and encourage people. Numbers 11, 29, it says this, and Moses says to him, are you zealous for my sake? This is after, I believe, Joshua ran into Moses and said, people are prophesying, stop them. And Moses said, are you jealous for my sake? Are you zealous for my sake? Or that, oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. That's my dream, my prayer. Is that not that we would all just be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but we would all operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, it would be messy. And it would be a pastoral nightmare. But hey, sometimes you need to throw a grenade into the church every now and then just to shake things up a little bit. But, you know, I wish everybody would prophesy and speak out in the things of God. But the Spirit has been given to us all. So we all can. If you remember in Acts 2, verse 18, it says, and on my men servants and my maid servants, so on the boys and the girls, on the men and the women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. You shall, if you want to. But remember, prophecy is not just God says. I think that a lot of people prophesy without actually knowing they're doing it. Where they can just share something that's on their heart that can touch somebody else's life and sometimes can redirect their life, and they didn't really know they were doing it. But the thing is, don't think we're any better or worse than anybody else. Just because you can prophesy, speak in tongues, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, if you can speak the language of angels but don't have love, you're nothing. If you give everything you've got in your body to be burnt, if you can perform amazing miracles and hover 2 foot off the floor but don't have love, you are nothing. So, it doesn't matter how you can hear from God and pretend we're super spiritual, but super spiritualness is a reflection of your heart, which is love. That's what it's about. And I know this, that if you love people and you care for people and you want the best for people, then everything that comes out of your mouth towards a person will only be good things, won't it? But if you have a bit of a stinking attitude, you could be speaking what you hear, the word of God, but God will not be happy when you deliver it. So even if your gift's not that sharp yet, if you've got a heart of love, you can change somebody's life. Because what I do like is, God does like our enthusiasm. He knows we don't get it right all the time, but he certainly likes our passion, our enthusiasm. But if you've got a heart of love, you can change somebody's life and encourage them and strengthen them for God's glory. And we don't get any glory. We just walk away, job done. We've all got great dreams of what we think God ought to do and should do and what he might do in our lives. But at the end of it all, our lives exist so we can bring glory to him. And if me sharing a word into your life helps bring glory to God, then so be it. But if it ever turns around and starts bringing glory to me, then I'm in trouble. But remember, every one of us can prophesy. But again, it doesn't mean you stand up and go, "Thus says the Lord," or "God says." Sometimes it can just be, "You know what, I've been thinking about you, and I really feel God might be saying this." And they might go, "Thank you." They might say, "It means absolutely nothing to me." And you just got to continue. And if you do get it wrong, I mean, unless you get it really spectacular wrong, you just got to believe it and trust God. I'll end with this story. When I were in a church many years ago, we had a joint meeting with a church from down the road. This was over in Wakefield. And a lady from the church in Wakefield that came to us, she says to our pastor, "I really believe God's saying something. Can I share it?" So she explained it to Don. And Don says, "Say it," because he didn't understand half the words she said. So this lady got up and she was talking about this disease, this condition on the scalp. And she went into certain words about the itchiness. And she named it, and she named the drugs that you take to alleviate. And she says, "God said, if you come out right now, he's going to heal you." Nobody moved. So she thought, did they hear me? She said, "God says, if you've got this condition, come out right now, because he's going to heal you right now." Nobody moved. So she went off to the back and started crying and missed the entire rest of the meeting because she was upset that nobody listened, or did she hear it wrong, or blah, blah. And in other words, she was kicking herself. And that's a bit of pride there, because she's only a postwoman after all. And at the end of the day, if she got it wrong, she got it wrong. If nobody responded, she's got it right and they didn't respond. And it's not her problem. Left it at that. A couple of weeks later, but a guy in the church came up to Don and asked him, "Will you pray for me?" He goes, "Why?" He said, "I've got this problem." And he went through it. And he said, "You were sat on the second row 2 weeks ago when that lady stood up there and said, 'Come out now, you're going to be healed.'" And he said, "Yeah, but that had been embarrassing, wouldn't it?" And he said, "Well, I'm not praying for you." And if you knew Don, you know he would do that. "I'm not praying for you. Go take your tablets." He wasn't going to have any of it. Because his lady was distraught, thinking she'd misheard it. So he rung her up and said, "You heard from God." So sometimes when you deliver things, people might not respond very well. And they might not respond at all. But again, we're only the postman. Give him the letter. See you later. When my postman comes, I don't ask him how his day is. I'm not interested in him. If he's bringing me a bill or a check, check's good, bill's not. But I'm not bothered. My dog likes him, tries to like him, tries to get near him. It's a red coat. But we are only postmen when it comes to God. But what a blessing that letter that we're delivering could make in somebody else's life. Amen. 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 Amen.